ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, bro! This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name's Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, John Romano. John, this was the first weekend we've had off, and I can't even think of how many weeks, months, years it seems like. I actually was pretty relaxed this weekend, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, we can all thank me for that, because I had to go away for the weekend for Thanksgiving.
Well, I think just Thanksgiving in general was very relaxing for me.
You know, it was, Dave. I mean, I called you at, you know, late last night, and you didn't answer the phone.
I went to bed early, man. I decided I was going to get 10 hours of sleep. I hadn't done that in a long time, and it paid off. I actually, you know what you notice after about 8 hours of sleep? You start dreaming much, much more.
Oh, yeah?
I think the deep sleep is the first 4 to 6 hours, but then what happens is you start going to much greater states of dreaming, and I hadn't remembered my dreams in years, it seemed like, so I guess I wasn't getting more than 6 or 8 hours. So.
Yeah, I can't remember a dream in forever, so because I get 4 hours sleep.
I know, you have a little... what can I call him? A motivator to get up.
A dream interrupter.
A dream interrupter. That's exactly the words I was looking for.
But he is a dream, so it's, you know, it works out.
Well, yeah, you get the payoff. You get the benefits of him, and then you get the disadvantage at the same time. But the benefits outweigh the disadvantages. That's the good thing.
Yep. You also caught a movie this weekend.
Yeah, I did. I did, actually.
You did like normal stuff.
Clint and I decided to have pretend to have a normal relationship this weekend. And wow. I noticed I've been neglecting her a lot, and she's been neglecting me because we were always busy. And we went and saw a terrible movie. So, but you know, nonetheless, it's the experience. It's not necessarily what you're doing while you're there. And we actually hit a little sushi on the way back. Wow. So
you guys talked to each other and stuff too.
Yeah, we talked to each other. Wow. We did. Yeah, it was. I guess therapeutic is the word I'm looking for.
Did the subject of wedding come up at all?
No. We were just trying not to break up. I think that's what it was. You know, the subject of why we shouldn't break up was really more about what we talked about.
Oh my God.
I think is,
you know a person. I had no idea those thoughts were going through your guys' mind.
What?
You need to talk about not breaking up.
Well, we haven't. I don't think we've actually, you know, had a good conversation in a couple months. So we've been busy. So I got to air these subjects. They're very vital. You know, I had to apologize, you know, for neglecting her and stuff like that. We're trying to build an empire. Yeah, you know, this shit happens. Yeah, you know,
and the fact that you notice and took the time out to, you know, and made that a statement and, you know, acknowledged the issue. I think that's a very big step.
I have awareness about what's going on in my life, but sometimes, you know, you have to defer gratification for the better good of what you're trying to do.
Well, you know? the truth in that is that you know where the limits are, and you push a little bit past them.
Always.
And then recoup.
You always have to push a little past the limits. That's how you get the most. It's like when you know you're going to run out of gas, your car, and you're just going to push that extra half mile to see if you can just make it past the, you know, the point of no return. And if you can do it, then you know the heavens are looking over you and taking care of you.
But what was that movie with Al Pacino where he played the lawyer?
You know, I love that movie. That's for Justice for All.
Yeah. Where they had the lunatic judge.
Jack Warden.
He goes in the helicopter and he goes, oh, what I like to do is I like to go out a little bit further over the ocean.
Past the halfway point. See if you can make it back.
Of course he crashed. I love
Al
that
Pacino
movie.
Al Pacino was dying because he was afraid of heights. Flying with a crazy judge who eats lunch on the balcony
with a shotgun in his mouth.
Right, exactly.
That was an awesome movie.
It was. Well, you know, in the movies though, John, I had a funny experience. You know, I always, now whenever I have frustrating things happen to me in my life, I take a deep breath and I look back and I say, you know what, this must be happening because it's a good radio show story.
Right.
And I pull out my BlackBerry and I start typing the story in because I know I'm going to forget it.
Right.
I was online. I wanted to get a bucket of popcorn, which I haven't had in God knows how long.
Yeah.
So we get to the movie. Of course, we were like, you know, I left the house like 7 minutes before the movie started. So we, amazingly enough, we get there on time. The parking lot's filled. We finally find a parking spot. We're getting there maybe 2 minutes late, 3 minutes late. Of course, there's like 6,000 previews. So
right.
I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to go in that popcorn line and get popcorn. So she goes in and gets the seats. And I'm standing on this line. And maybe there's like 4 people in front of me. And this woman first of all, this guy orders. He orders four buckets. You ever see those big, gigantic buckets? Four buckets of popcorn, six Sprites. All, every one of him and his kids are fucking lard ass, fucking fat bastards. Okay? The next person, you know, it takes a long time to fill these orders. The next right. person online orders four popcorns, three pretzel nuggets, junior mints, sweet tarts. You know, I just got done driving 15 miles. It took me 8 minutes and 30 seconds to drive 15 miles. I'm on the refreshments line stand for 15 minutes.
Longer.
15 minutes. Jeez. Double the time it took me to drive the 15 miles from my house. All right. Now, after this guy orders this, like I just said, it was four popcorn, three pretzel nuggets, junior mint sweet tarts. He asks his son, do you have enough? Can you fucking believe it?
Enough for what?
I said he had enough at the second popcorn you ordered. Can you fucking please move? We all want to fucking watch the movie here. Wow. Everyone was like petrified when I said that, except the people behind the counter who were probably stoned out of their mind anyway. Right. They were laughing their asses off.
So, I always wondered how stoned you have to be to work the popcorn concession.
I worked in the movie theater once.
Did you really?
One summer, I worked at the popcorn concession. Yeah, and I was an usher. I do both. I would go back and forth. It was fun. You meet a lot of chicks when you work in the movie.
I bet you do. But the reason I ask was, unfortunately, not for that reason. But, I take Max to the movies quite often. And I always wonder how, with a straight face, a person can tell you when you've ordered a medium popcorn and a drink that it's $13.
That's what they charge. You know what? I'm convinced that the movies do not make money on the movie ticket.
No, of course not.
It's the refreshment stand.
It's outright rape.
Yeah.
I mean, they charge, what, $5 for a Coke?
But it's, you know what? It's worse when you go see, like, the WWE wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what, it was like $8 for a Coke?
It was $4 for a water. It was like...
Max had like a hot dog. It was like $20.
Yeah, it was retarded.
Yeah, it's insane. It's
unbelievable.
But, the people at the movies, they think that they're... It's a two-hour... Look, the largest movie, the longest movie is, what, 3 hours?
Right.
Most movies are 2 hours the most, okay?
Right.
These people order enough food to eat for a freaking week. I couldn't believe it. I cannot physically eat a medium popcorn myself. I'm stuffed after I eat that. They're ordering these tubs that were like extra, extra big tubs of popcorn. Each kid gets one tub.
Wow. Well, you know, people are just getting so fat these days. Dave, I was just down, I was down in Virginia over the weekend. Mm. And, in the South, in the Mid-South, there's home to some very stay-out-of-pigeous sort of people. Very, very rotund and obese. And they rove in packs. And my brother and I were at a he was raving about this steak place where you go and it's like an all you can eat buffet style.
I need steak. Yeah, steak. I had four steaks.
and he knows I don't eat carbs, so he wanted to take me to a place that had a lot of meat. And I go, Mike, even though I don't eat, carbs, doesn't mean I need 4 pounds of meat. I mean, any place will do. I don't need to go to an all-you-can-eat place.
Right.
No, this place is great. They got steaks and chops and ribs, and you'll love it. So I went with them. We were parked in the parking lot, backed up so we could see across the parking lot, to the restaurant. We were waiting for his wife and his two kids and Max. And while we're sitting there, a couple of families came, and parked and got out of, minivans and wagons and whatever. I just couldn't believe there was this one family or group. There was about eight people in the group, and there were just each one weighed 400 pounds. And they were walking across the park, and they looked like a herd of cows going to a steak place. It was the most ironic thing. They were huge. And when we got in there, I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, I'm in the wrong place. This has to be Brookhaven. This is the mess hall at Brookhaven.
No, that's like, taking like a bunch of like teenage kids to like a fucking strip club when you take those guys. Fat people in a steakhouse is like, that's like porn for them.
At an all-you-can-eat steakhouse.
Yeah, it's even more.
They were disgusting. They were just,
I blame the parents. We've talked about this before. I think they should be thrown in jail.
Well, the parents are bringing the kids.
Well, you know what? It's a good segue into my next story, because in Japan now, John, they're setting laws for how big your waist size can be.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And they're throwing people in jail.
For being fat.
Yeah, for being fat,
right.
Basically, or you lose your job.
Well, there's not too many fat people in Japan anyway, other than the sumo wrestlers.
No, there's people that are overweight because now they have McDonald's there and all kinds of junk food. They eat all that stuff. This one woman that I was reading about, she's 39. She was a manager of a major transportation corporation. She had to go on a crash diet because she's got to go to, you know, when you go to your annual health checkup, they measure your waist and they weigh you. This woman ate 21 consecutive meals of vegetable soup to lose, and she was running 30 minutes a day to lose the weight so that she could make the weight. You know, she can drop, she had to drop like 5 or 6 pounds or something like that, which is probably not a great thing to do. They should probably weigh in once every 6 months or every 3 months. So,
so you're not panicking.
You have to stay on the, you have to stay down in size. But yeah, they're cutting, the government will cut funding to these businesses for health insurance and stuff like that. And you know, they're at least they're doing something about it. Now, I talked about this with a lot of people in the gym. I had a gym discussion, a focus group, as you might think. And so a couple of the guys were against it. They didn't want the government intruding on, you know, on telling them what they can weigh and stuff like that. What do you think about that?
They're obviously the people with the weight problems.
No, these were lean people. These are just people that don't like government interference. You know, I think that it's a good thing, but, you know, they're afraid then they'll start telling you you can't tie your shoes and then you can't do this, you can't do that.
Well, you know, there's certainly something to be said for that sequence. But, I mean, in terms of overall general health, the world, especially, I don't think the problem is any worse in the world than it is in America. But
yeah, with 35% obesity, Japan has the lowest rate at 5%.
But us being the highest, we should be setting the example on how to eradicate it. Whereas you have Japan here is this minuscule problem, and they're getting rid of it. The fact that there could be, you know, subsequent, you know, multi-level government interventions that might, you know, might deter people from embracing this idea. I think it's an extremely good idea. They should do it in this country.
Yeah,
they should make it illegal to be obese. They should make it illegal to be able to buy a plane ticket or a bus ticket where your size infringes on other people's space. It's ridiculous. When you I left New York on Wednesday night and I got back last night. My entire trip in middle America, I didn't see one person who was in shape.
Well, you know, the rates right now of type 1 diabetes, okay, has risen in this country from 6.9 million in 1997 to 8.9 million this past year.
Wow.
I mean, that's insane.
You know,
and it's all diet. You know, it's all diet related.
I was at the grocery store. You know, I go to Pathmark down here, down the street, you know, where they have good coupons.
Right.
And, you know, they have a lot. You get the thing that goes on your key, you know, that little barcode thing that goes on your key ring, you know, and you get the specials.
Discounts, yeah.
Right, the discounts. Well, they were having some kind of promotion, I don't know, whatever soda company it was. This lady had to weigh 500 pounds, and I'm not exaggerating. She was so fat that she was using the cart to hold herself up, and she was
leaning on her gut in the cart.
The elbows were and these monster tits were like hanging on into the that little compartment where you sit a kid, you know.
I know a couple of guys that get turned on by that. They like
these
that.
Two huge watermelon boobs sitting in there and just leaning on the thing. She had, Dave, I'm not exaggerating with you, she had 12-liter bottles of orange soda.
All sugar. High fructose corn syrup.
And she's paying out the coupons like she's hit the jackpot that she's getting these 12 fucking things of soda for free. Like she needs them.
You should have told her, man, this is fucking poison in a bottle. That's what I would have told her.
I'm staring at this with my mouth. And now this is just the soda. She's got everything in that cart was in a box. There wasn't one fresh anything. Everything was processed, packaged.
And sugar, laden with sugar, I'm sure.
Nothing was the diet version. Nothing was the lean version. Nothing was anything other than, but, you know, full strength, full potency garbage. And she's proudly, you know, she had a stack of coupons about an inch thick. She had two carts full. And she was walked out of there or waddled out of there with tons and tons of free sugar.
Those are the people that are dangerous, though, because, you know, the people, look, I see guys that go out for pizza. They go out for, you know, Chinese food. They go out for stuff that's not the healthiest, but they don't eat that on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, if I go to a restaurant and have something that's a little offbeat, like some pasta or some you know, something a little, you know, a dessert, I'm not eating that at home. This is a woman who's buying that crap, feeding it to her whole family, and poisoning them, essentially.
Right.
Those are the dangerous people, which segues to my next story, which is, I don't know if you read about the man who won a year of free pizza.
No, I did not.
They have this contest, John, called the Hands on an Eggplant.
sub, okay, at this pizza place in Austin, Texas, which you know is a real hip, yuppie-ish kind of place
Austin's
to live.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a young, real young person's town.
Yeah.
And I guess every year they have this contest. You have to put your hands on this eggplant and hold it as long as you can. Whoever can keep their hands on there the longest wins. And what you win is you win a year of free pizza, meaning every time you come into the store once a day, you can get, you're entitled to getting a free pizza pie.
And once a day.
Once a day.
365
pizzas. So, and you get a year of that. This guy, Seth Mazow won this past year. He is a three, I think he's a two-time winner now. He's won 2 years in a row. He says he comes in there three times a week and eats, he gets a pie every time he goes in there. He's, you know, he uses this free pizza. He brings his friends here. You know, he makes his friends buy the beer. So he's like the big shot, you know, kind of speaking free among pizza. The college. He's like a college guy. Right. This guy's as skinny as could be because, you know, he might eat pizza three times a week, but probably the rest of the week he exercises sure. and he does things normal. You know, I think the key is balance. I think that the obesity really stems from what you do at home.
Right.
And if you're eating junk food at home, like you said, if you're buying 6 liter bottles of regular soda and you're drinking them at home, there's no way you're going to get out of that scenario and not be fat.
Well, I'm picturing the poor kids. They weren't
That's
there.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
they're all fatties. They're
They're getting a Hot Pocket and a glass of orange soda. That's lunch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know,
or dinner or whatever. I mean, how can you and not only subsist on that, but it's the damage that's doing to you internally. There's no fiber in that diet. There's no vitamins, no minerals. Those calories are just garbage full of carcinogens. Mm-hmm. These people have to be dying early.
Well, you know, we're going to have one of our main sponsors of the show, Dr. Scott Conley of Progenics, will be on next week, and we will be talking about this entire subject along with some of the other questionable ketogenic diet studies that have been thrown out there by a couple other magazines. Irresponsibly, I might add.
Very irresponsible.
And Conley's going to comment on this because this is a big freaking, you know, this is like a crusade that you, me, and him are on right now.
Right.
Because, you know, he led the crusade, but we are following in his footsteps because I think this is destroying this country internally, the health at least of this country. And they're worried about the healthcare system. Holy shit. Think about the cost that this is giving to them.
Yeah. You know, and the irresponsibility of, you brought that up for a second. I want to expound upon that for 1 second. You know, to have a differing viewpoint is one thing, okay, but to take a viewpoint that is proven to be a benefit and then throw dirt on it to forward your own retarded agenda is perhaps the most irresponsible and dastardly thing that you could possibly do in this industry, because you're not only promoting a false pretense, but you're doing it for your own selfish reason, which is ultimately going to hurt someone.
But you know what? The government wants to restrict or ban using trans fats, right? Because they know they're terrible for
right.
you. Why don't they ban using high fructose corn syrup?
No, they have public service announcements on TV telling you how good they are.
Well,
for
they
you.
Have to, because they don't know what to do with all the fucking corn we grow in this country. So you know, and that's another whole story. We're not going to go into that now,
but
that, I mean, that's the bottom line when it comes to here.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just appalling that a magazine in this industry would promote such nonsense.
Well, we'll talk about that with Conley. I'm going to save that. Well, that's a whole other argument. Yeah. The fact that there people are putting out information that's false and
misleading.
Yeah. So
yeah.
All right, but another note, a funnier note. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger supposedly owes the government $79,000 in back taxes, John, which probably would make you feel a lot better, because I'm convinced you probably owe them something, right?
No,
you're caught up.
Of course.
All right. Well, can you believe that? You know, and the funny thing is, $79,000 for Arnold is probably like
pocket change,
like $790 for you or me,
right?
So I'm sure he doesn't have a problem. It was probably an oversight on his part, I'm sure. But
I think his bigger problem is the fact that he got busted for texting in his car.
Yeah, yeah. Him and his wife have been on a rash of different things. Supposedly, she was caught using.
She was caught texting, and he was caught parking in a handicap zone.
Or red zone or
in
something.
His Porsche turbo convertible.
Yeah, I saw that. You were jealous, weren't you?
Well, you know what? I wasn't jealous, although that is my dream car. But you know, I wasn't jealous. But you know what? I was very happy, because Arnold is a gazillionaire. He could afford any car in the world. He could drive a Pagani Zonda if he wanted to, any of those. And he chose to stick to the tried and true homeland of where he's from, German engineering, and although he's Austrian, but it's the same.
same thing, and drive the Porsche. And he, you know, he could have any car he wants, and he drives a you know, a very, for him, a modest car.
But you know, that's strange. Doesn't the governor usually have security guards following?
Arnold is one of, you know, Arnold was always his own man. He, you know, when I knew him back in Venice back in the day, he was always driving these souped up Jeep Wagoneers, and you
Hummer.
Know,
you gotta get a Hummer.
Well, that was H1 way before Hummer. The Hummer. I mean, that was way H1 before
Hummer. Definitely have an H1 Hummer.
But to see him drive, yeah, you'd think that the California Highway Patrol, who was in charge of ensuring his safety and his, you know, movements about the country, would have an issue with that. But Arnold's driving around Sacramento and around Beverly Hills in his own car.
Or do they follow him? Is that how the Secret Service works?
I got to look into that, because I was shocked to see him drive. I mean, he's driving not only his own car, it's a convertible.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. It seems like
a convertible goes 200 miles an hour. So yeah, that's true. Anybody's after him.
Well, he's done. He's done. Isn't his term up after this year or something like that?
Yeah, even if you go back to being a private citizen, don't you still carry forward? Is that just the president?
That's just the president.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Arnold's not that important. Not yet, you know, unless he...
I wonder what Arnold's going to do next.
I think he's going to go back to movies, personally.
Do you?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he probably misses it to a certain degree. I think he thought politics was going to be a little more glamorous than it was, and I think he realized that it's a lot of, like, you know, bullshit. It's a
thankless job, really.
Yeah, I look, he was living the life as a movie star. I don't, you know what, personally, I would never want to be a politician.
Me neither.
Not that they'd ever allow us to be politicians, probably with the fact that we have a record, but
what's different about us than them at this point?
I don't know, but the fact is that it is a lot of responsibility, and there is a lot of bullshit, and you could have all the greatest intentions when you first start out, and ultimately you just get sucked into that whole machine and spit out, and it just changes your whole personality. I think Arnold made more of an influence on people as a movie star than he ever did as the governor. But
I wouldn't want to be assimilated into that group of scumbags that you would call politicians anyway. So that's number one. Number two, I think Arnold has been a tremendous inspiration for people through bodybuilding, through his accomplishments, his story as an immigrant, and his rise to fame and fortune. I mean, those are the things that give people hope and promise and motivate them to do bigger and better things, not to be a freaking politician, man, dealing with, you know, liars and cheats and radical idiots.
Well, he did it. I think, you know, he said, look, I did it. Screw you. I lived the American dream. Now go back to what he enjoyed doing and what he was good at, which was the pulling out the action movies.
Do you think he could get back up to 50 million a picture?
Oh, I think he's worth more now because of who he is. Imagine seeing the governor back in the movie. You know, come on.
Well, it didn't work for Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, but he really, I don't think he ever had the notoriety of a... He was the governor of Minnesota. Come on, man. California is much bigger.
California is a mess. Minnesota's okay.
But California is California. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, California was Arnold's state. You know, it's where he came to. It's where he experienced all his, his accolades and his accomplishments. So I think it's only fitting that, too bad it was in such a state of disarray and such a mess that he couldn't fix it, you know.
Yeah, look, I don't think it got worse, so.
No worse, but
he picked it up. He did grab the governorship when it was in the state was just in
great days,
terrible economic times. And I mean, it's the economic times are probably worse now. So the fact that it's not completely bankrupt is probably a testament to maybe something he did that was good. I don't know though.
Did he ever get the water turned on in the valley up there?
I don't know. That's you'll have to ask the people who live up there.
I'm gonna call Arnold.
Well. You know, we got a great show today. We have Al Agusti on, who was the second place finisher in the light heavyweight class at the NPC Nationals a couple weeks ago. We also have Big Don Long on, you know, give us an update on himself. And, you know, he helped coach Al there. So I figured that would be a good tandem to have on here. And we got a lot of good stuff to talk about later. I want to thank DiscountSupplements.com for sponsoring the site. They have the best prices on the net. Mm-hmm. I did a little comparison shopping the other day and, they really do have the best prices, John. Really, I checked about 20 different products out, and I'd say 19 of them were much, much better priced. And the 20th was still about comparable, but no one beat him. So, look, you know, you guys can shop wherever you want. You spend all your money if you want. You want to give, you know, people more money than they need to, then do it. But you know what? Where I'm spending my money is on DiscountSupplements.com because they got the best prices, and they're doing special $7.99 flat shipping, John. So if you order a humongous, like, big thing of 20 tubs of protein, it's still going to cost you $7.99.
Yeah, you know, that's a huge factor that I don't think people pay attention to when they're shopping online or doing any of this kind of mail order shopping. Because I bought something the other day for Max that was $4. Okay, and the shipping was $6. Yeah. So I spent $10 for a $4 item. Now, so when you buy a 4-pound tub of protein powder, you know, you're not going to get that shipped for $7.95.
I can tell you how much it costs. It's about $12. So.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you buy 4 or 5 of those. You go in with your buddies and pick them up. You're getting a discount price, and B, you're getting it delivered for less than $8.
Yeah, and it takes a couple of days. Only a few days you get it.
I think it's the way to go, man. It beats going to any of those mortar and brick buildings. You know what you want. You go online, you pick it out, you buy it, you don't have to think about it again. It comes to your door, and boom, you're done.
Well, discountsupplements.com. Thank you, guys. Yep. And we will, let's take a commercial break. And when we come back, John, we got our first guest.
All right. See you in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on rxmuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited discountsupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit discountsupplements.com today.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com.
Get in D-Mix. That's D-Mix, the world's first energy pump that combines the most essential nutritional elements for overall health with efficiency. Cool and easy to use, D-Mix is the most powerful and unique multivitamin antioxidant energy formula on the market. D-Mix is a nutritional wonder that lasts up to 4 days. D-Mix is available in three delicious flavors: coffee, mint, and punch. Each flavor is designed to be taken on its own or added to other beverages. D-Mix. Don't drink, just pump. Healthy energy.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes: Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, Jenny Lynn, Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X, Jen Gates as Shade, Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus, Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress, and their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind, limited-edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
Our next guest finished a very close second in the light heavyweight class at this year's 2009 NPC Nationals just 2 weeks ago today. He's been knocking on the door to his pro card for over 2 years now, and today he's knocking on our door. So I'm glad to welcome him. The man I'm talking about is Al Augusti.
Glad to be here with you, Dave.
Well, you earned the right, man. You've been, you know, second twice now, and I know I've been second twice in my career, and I know it hurts a little bit, but this year I noticed a significant difference in your physique. You came back bigger, harder, more complete, but you still had to settle for that second behind Seth Ferrosi. What was going through your mind when you got there? I know you seem very, very confident coming into this show. Talk to me a little bit about what you were feeling.
This year I thought it definitely was going to be my year. Not because I came in second last year. Obviously, you know, I was like next in line. No, I didn't put that into my head at all. You know, I knew, you know, coming into this competition, you know, the light heavyweight class is always stacked. You know, it's one of the toughest class to judge. You know, I had to be on my best game. But this, after my second place last year, I took a few months to evaluate where I needed to work the most. So, you know, I just pick up my flaws a little bit, you know, just like and then, you know, that's the areas I'm going to concentrate on the most. And then and adding Don to the equation to even make it even better.
Don Long, you're talking about who you added.
Don Long, yes. Yes.
So what do you think your weaknesses were, and what did you work on bringing up over this last year?
Pretty much, my biggest thing I needed to work on was my legs. You know, I guess I got a lot of criticism for that over the past year. You know, people keep telling me that I have this red upper body, but I don't have the leg to match. So I kind of take that into consideration. So, you know, I work on the most. I'll sit about twice a week. I'll do like quads. I'll separate my leg workout. I'll do quads one day, and then a few days later, I'll do a hamstring, but I'll do a little bit. Oh, if I do quads, I'll throw in a few hamstring exercises in there. And when I do my hamstring, I'll do a few quad exercises in there. And I did that for a year straight, and I guess I got great result out of it.
Were you squatting heavier, or were you training, you know, more intensely, would you say?
I was definitely doing a lot of heavy squatting. A lot of hack squatting, and then my intensity level was definitely higher than it has ever been.
Because you look like a different person to me now. When you saw Seth Ferrosi at the weigh-in, and then you saw him again before you guys went on stage, were you saying to yourself, "I got problems with this guy," or did you think you had him beat?
You know what? I never saw him at the weigh-in because I think I was ahead of him. and then I didn't see him until the day of the prejudging. But I was still going in there and thought to myself that I'm going to take this class. You know, I mean, sure, you know, we were, you know, I guess he had all the hype coming in. So I still thought to myself, hey, this class is mine to take, you know.
Yeah, you had every right to think that.
Now, Al, a lot of our listeners don't know a single thing about Al Agusti. So the fact that you're going to be a pro soon and we all need to know about you, why don't you give us sort of some basic pedigree information? Where are you from? How old are you? You know, how'd you get involved in the sport of bodybuilding? Just give us the kind of picture of Al Agusti.
I'm 32 years old. I guess I'm still pretty young.
Yes, you are, especially around here.
I did my first bodybuilding competition in 2001, like in the summer of 2001. I was training at a gym, just doing a regular, you know, the average Joe workout, you know, and then one of the guy approached me. I mean, I had no idea who he was. Now, he looked like he was a bodybuilder himself, but I guess he didn't compete anymore. So he's like, "Hey, man, you should do a show." I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about?" He's like, "No, you should do a bodybuilding show." So, you know, kind of typical answer you would give somebody, you know. Like, yeah, not brush him off or anything because I didn't know anything about the sport. But eventually I did one, and I was doing that as part of my recreation. But it wasn't until 2006 I decided to go pro. Mm-hmm. I say, okay, I think I can do this. You know, I got this physique. Everybody's complimenting me on my physique. I must have a physique that to compete at the next level. So until 2006, I decided to go pro, and then I've been doing nationals, you know, ever since then.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from, Al?
Currently, I reside in Orlando, Florida.
Now, you know, you have a very short lifespan, so to speak, in this industry. You haven't been in it very long, but you haven't, ever since you got on that national level, you've always done well. I mean, does that register with you that most people don't do that?
Really, I guess I have to take the spectator's word for it. You know, I mean, I keep climbing on the ladder. I guess I suppose that's a good thing when you're in the sports, because it is such a subjective sport. So, you know, I'm just enjoying it right now. So.
In 2007, you came out of nowhere, essentially. No one even knew who you were. You placed second at the USA Championships in that light heavyweight class behind Peter Putnam, who won that class that day. What do you think enabled you to suddenly become so dominant in that light heavyweight class at that particular show? Because prior to that, your best placing was the seventh, I think, at the 2006 Nationals.
That is correct.
What happened over that year between 2006 and 2007 that you became the Al Augusti that we know?
It's funny you ask that, because I was talking it over with my, after the 2006 National, I was talking it over with my roommate. I'm like, you know what? I mean, people are going to look in the paper. They're going to say I play seventh, but nobody really know who Al Augusti is. But, and then I told him, you know what? Regardless of my placement of that USA, and I decided to be USA right there and there, like, regardless of my placement at the USA, people will know the name of Al Augusti. And sure enough, people knows who I am now.
They certainly do. And now, and after this year's Nationals, they really know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, as Dave said, you came out of nowhere, but in 2008, Peter Putnam defeated you in the light heavyweight class at the NPC Nationals to get his pro card. But now many thought that they didn't see much improvement in the way, of improvements in your physique from 2007 to 2008. Now, I understand you were pretty much doing things yourself back then. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Right. So what do you attribute the next big move up for you was obviously, was that with the help of Don?
I will say, because I still did my own training. I trained by myself. I had no, for this, coming in and going in into the National this year, I had no training partners. I was getting up early in the morning, going in late at night, doing all by myself. Don kind of like tweaked my exercise routine a little bit. He gave me stuff I should incorporate with doing this body part and that body part. So I guess that makes a whole lot of improvements on how I train.
Well, Don did say that he only started working with you toward the end. He said you had already packed on a really significant amount of size, prior to this. But what happened in 2007? You were second. You were next in line for that light heavyweight class. But then when you came back in 2008, though, you didn't really. I didn't think, at least, that you made that many improvements. Nothing like the improvements you made this year. What happened? Did you over diet? What happened in that time period between the USA and the Nationals?
Last year I got sick. I guess I had a flu or the cold or something, and I dropped like 12 pounds, like right there in the middle of October. And that's the 12 pound that I dropped. Suddenly I didn't want to drop them that quickly, so I try to pack them, I try to pack this pound back, and I guess that didn't go too well with my body. And I was dieting at that point for 8 weeks already. So when you've been dieting for so long and you try to change something, it doesn't go too well.
So you panicked, in other words. Is that what happened?
So I will say so, because I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Yeah. And I was trying to put the pound back on, and it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening, and then I lost it from there.
And that's the importance of having a coach sometimes, because there are setbacks. Nothing goes perfect. There's always those days you come back from the gym and you're injured or you hurt something and you think it could ruin your whole contest prep. And a lot of times when you're not really working with someone, you tend to do stupid things and go back to the gym and try to test out the hurt body part, and you wind up hurting yourself more. So a lot of times it's nice to have someone to confer with and ask, well, what do you think I should do?
Exactly. But this year, I think I took an extra, I think I added a couple weeks extra to my training routine and my dieting, but slowly coming down in weight. So I didn't have to lose like 4 or 5 pounds in 1 week. So the setback that I had last year didn't happen this year.
Did you have trouble making weight this year? Because you looked enormous.
No, absolutely not. No, I weighed in at 197.
No, that's pretty close. That's only a pound off.
But that's because I was drinking water until like 2 hours before my weight in.
Okay, so that wasn't you weren't really
so
suffering.
It wasn't an issue. So I mean, I could have come in about 194 pounds.
Mm. So you still have room to grow into that light heavyweight class then, even.
Yeah.
Well, now that you finished second for the second year in a row,
And there's at least one of us in the room that knows what that feels like. But what are you going to do now? Are you going to do the Nationals next year? Are you going to do the USA? What's next for you?
The next thing for me, I will be doing the USA in July.
All right. So you're announcing that here officially?
It is official. I will be doing the USA.
Right. Well, I hear they're giving a fourth pro card out this year, possibly. So they're going to be giving four out. I mean, if you win your class, it should be a guarantee for you.
Okay. But I don't want to win my class.
You want to win the overall?
I want to win the whole thing.
You'd be in good company with the likes of Flex Wheeler and Chris Cormier, among other great USA champions. So
that's right.
What's his name won it? Who's the guy who looks like Sean Ray? Who never competed again?
In whose mind?
The guy who actually in Sean's mind. He thinks he looks like him. You know who I'm talking
about.
Gift. No, what's his name? Come on, Jeff, help me out here.
Who looks like Sean
Ray? The guy who, and then Richard Jackson.
Richard Jones.
Now you guys are all of a sudden getting, you're correcting me like as if you knew all along.
Well, there is no Richard Jackson.
Richard Jones won as a light heavyweight, the overall, and I see Al having a physique very much like his.
Yeah, but Richard Jones never got it together, man. Al's way better than him.
Yeah, well, I'm saying I think Al could do it next year, possibly.
I think so too, man. Al, I don't know if you knew, but if you've listened to any of the pre-contest hype, but I, among anybody else, had picked you to win the whole thing this year, the Nationals. So you winning the whole thing at the USA is okay with me.
And now, Al, what are you doing for a living nowadays? What's your family situation like?
Currently, I drive, I do a delivery for a tire company. I drive not local, but kind of regional.
Okay.
Go from deliver tires to retail stores.
Is that tough? I mean, getting all your meals in and getting to the gym while doing that?
It can be. It depends on the day. If it's like really, really, really busy, then I might have trouble getting a meal or two in. But for the most part, when I do, as I drive, I eat. I eat in my truck. So if that's the only way I can get it in, I'm going to make sure that I get it in that way. So.
I understand you're working for ISS now. Is that true?
I am working for ISS, yes.
How long you been with them?
I've been with them since July. I've been with them since July.
Oh, okay, good. That must be coming handy then, huh?
Yeah, so, I signed a year deal with them.
Are they happy with your placing at the Nationals?
They're content as I am. They're content as I am. But like myself, they thought I was going to win the class.
Well, you certainly didn't disappoint anyone. I mean, your physique was top quality. I mean, really, the bottom line is probably the light heavyweight class was probably one of the toughest classes in the entire show. And you or Seth, probably in your own right, could both be pros right now because you both have pro caliber physiques. So I'm sure that now is ultimately your goal to become a professional. That way, and if you do, would you be competing in that 202 class or would you want to compete in the open class?
That's a good question. I think if I do, if I do compete in the open, I'm probably going to take a few years to pack on some quality muscles because I mean those guys are already in the weight. And me coming in and there, I'm just going to get killed. So probably the best thing to do when I turn pro is probably compete at the 202 class and see how far and see how long I'm going to compete at that and then eventually would like to compete in the open class.
Well, if Kevin English can suck down to 202, I'm sure you can suck down to 202 because he's enormous.
He's going to go up to 202.
Yeah, he is.
Oh man! So Al, now that you're wildly famous and your star has risen because of your appearance on Heavy Muscle Radio, tons and tons of people are going to want to get in touch with you for guest posings, appearances, and all that. So how can they do that? How do we get in touch with Al Augusti? You have a website?
They can go to my website. It's alaugusti.com, alaugusti.com. My email address is there. If they want to contact me, they can shoot me an email. Let me know what's going on, and then good to it's a brand new website, so And I'm not, if they put my name, if they search for my name, I'm not sure it's going to pop up. But just if I give it to you right now, they can definitely go in there and check it out. The comments are always welcome.
I'm looking at your website right now, and it looks great. And it's pretty easy to navigate. You're looking like a freak in these pictures. And I'm sure that you'll probably have a few contest promoters get in touch with you over the next couple of months and want to book you for guest posings, because I would if I were them. And you'd make a great guest pose. You're a good guy. You're responsible. And I think that's important. So,
yep.
Al, best of luck over the next couple months. You'll have to keep in touch with us. We'll have to track your progress leading up to that USA. I have a good feeling that you will probably emerge with your pro card, and it probably wouldn't be able to happen to a nicer guy.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll certainly hope that happens in July in Vegas.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, author L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited discountsupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit discountsupplements.com today.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GAT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GAT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com.
Get in D-Mix. That's D-Mix, the world's first energy pump that combines the most essential nutritional elements for overall health with efficiency. Cool and easy to use. D-Mix is the most powerful and unique multivitamin, antioxidant, energy formula on the market. D-Mix is a nutritional wonder that lasts up to 4 days. D-Mix is available in 3 delicious flavors: coffee, mint, and punch. Each flavor is designed to be taken on its own or added to other beverages. D-Mix. Don't drink. Just pump. Healthy energy.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes: Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, Jenny Lynn, Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X, Jen Gates as Shade, Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus, Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress, and their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind, limited-edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Colombo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, our next guest is none other than IFBB Pro Don Long. He's been on the show before. We got him back here again. We got to find out what he's up to. And it was good seeing him down at the 2009 NPC Nationals. Donnie, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going, Dave? How's it going, John?
All right, man. You're all over the place. You're like John and I. Every show I go to, I see you there.
Yeah, I'm in the industry now, although I can't really be as active as I used to be back in the day, but I still love the sport, and so I'm always going to be around it in some sort. So,
well, you may not be as active in the terms of competitively speaking, but you're a coach now, so you're still in the arena there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm a coach, and of course, I'm still a sponsored athlete, with ISS and everything, so that's going good, too. So, yeah, so that keeps me busy between the two. And of course, I love, I like this new part of helping other athletes. I can kind of be myself through them, so to speak. I can kind of, live through them, so to speak. You can kind of pass on everything that you wish you could have done back in the day, and things that got kind of taken away from you. I can kind of teach other guys now. So you know.
That's exactly what I'm doing, living vicariously through them. Let them suffer, right?
Exactly.
But, but you didn't almost die.
That's
so
true. But Donnie did compete again in 2009. Even I remember when you made the comeback, I think it was 2007, you said, you know, this is a one-time deal, but you've been competing regularly every year. You placed 11th at the Orlando Europa Show this year. Are you planning on continuing to compete? Or what's the deal?
I really think that, you know, and I'll definitely use the motto now, never say never, but I really firmly believe that that will be the last one. But because I really felt I did pretty good as far as my conditioning that I was able to do with everything considering. So now I'm kind of satisfied. And at 43 now, I'm kind of satisfied with the way things kind of, I was just happy to be able to return, period. And it was like I said, it was 2006 when I first came back. And then, of course, I think I competed in 2008 and then two times in 2009. So four times I was able to compete again and still under my same situation of being on dialysis. So I was just happy, you know, and which, you know, when it first happened that I got sick, I just didn't think I would ever get the chance again. And I kind of dealt with it. I was okay with it at some point. But once I got the chance to do it again, then I just kind of went for it. And then, and like I said, I always knew I was under good situations. I never took a risk with my health at that point. And I was always under a doctor's guidance, you know, doing that. So I knew I was able to, even though most people didn't think I was, but I knew my body. And I definitely wasn't crazy because I wouldn't put my family at that kind of situation of just being, you know, stupid and just going out there and trying to compete. So I knew I can do it at a certain level anyway, and that's what I did, you know.
Now, as far as you, I mean, as far as your physique goes, I mean, I was looking at pictures of what you look like today versus back then. I mean, you pretty much had all your size and conditioning together. I mean, maybe your skin was a little tighter back in you when you're in your 20s and 30s, but I mean, by and far, you look pretty much the same, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think I was able to, you know, do, all things considered, I think I was able to do real well. But it's just when you, once you get down to the nitty gritty, when you are on dialysis, you know, and you don't have a plumbing system, you know, you can't be perfect. And there's so many things involved with, you know, the right minerals able to hold on to and this type of thing. So everything you see that I was able to do is just sheer hard work and just, you know, maneuvering different ways of just through the years of knowledge of knowing my body at this state, I was able to come up with a program that I felt like would work, but still can't be perfect, you know, so... You know.
Now, you know, I got to ask you the serious question because, you know, this is, I have to ask you what the viewers and the listeners are probably wondering. A lot of people are probably saying to themselves, why the freak is Don Long competing? The guy's lucky to be alive. I mean, he looks great. He's married. He's got a good business now. What would be the reason he want to put his health at risk to compete? So what do you say to that statement?
And that's the thing, you know, like I said, once again, I definitely don't feel like I put my health at risk any more than what any other athlete does anyway. So that's one. And then, but it's hard for most people to understand it because they say, well, he's on dialysis.
Sure.
But, you know, they don't know my situation, and I do. You know, that's the one thing. So I never was ever at any type of detrimental state. I mean, I was healthy. I was much stronger than any athlete backstage because, you know, I just didn't go through the things that they went through. You know, at that point, so I was always in great shape. I do my labs every month, you know. So, you know, so as far as being at risk, it just wasn't a risk. Any risk in the normal, and any risk that I would do every day, as far as training and living life. So every day I'm at a risk anyway. By being on dialysis, I'm on like death row anyway because anything can happen with me doing dialysis every day. So the thing is, I knew that, you know, because I was able to, I felt like this is my calling, like a Lance Armstrong. You know, I felt like I need to be still doing something to show other people in life, not just on dialysis, but people with any kind of situation, you know, that, you know, you can go on. And, you know, yes, I know I couldn't get to the top again, but I could at least show people that you don't have to sit around and just accept what was given to you. Try to do something different with it and see what happens. If you sit there and just lay low, which I felt like I could have done some years, I felt like, hey, I'm just lay low, let my family take care of me and just be a shrimp or whatever. But I knew I had more than that to offer, you know. So, and now in so many ways, I'm helping so many people. I get so many letters from so many people from all across the world that's just, and I had a guy come here from Malta just this couple weeks ago to come visit because he's going through the same situation. And he came to visit just because he wanted to get a sense of what I was going through. And then, so I have all kinds of positive, net feedback from people of how I helped them in some way, you know. So if I can continue to do that in some way now, even still, then I'm happy with that. So, you know. And that's my reason. Everybody can. I can't live for other people, definitely. So I don't let anyone control my thoughts of how I want to live my life. That's one thing. So
you're a very smart man in that respect.
Well, yeah. Speaking of having anybody control your life and how you live it, you got married in August. And you moved from, I guess, Kansas City to Florida. Is that what precipitated the move?
Well, no. You know, I had been seeing my wife for about a year before we moved here. And then at that point, we just wanted a change of pace. I never liked Kansas City anyway. I was just kind of forced to move there because I had a transplant about 5 years before that, before I moved there. And my sister was in the military, so once I got the transplant and it fell, I had to move there again with my sister. You know, she was in the military there, so that's what made me move to Kansas City anyway. That just weren't really one of the type of place for me. And so once I had a chance to get out of there and I found a good partner to move with, we just, you know, said, let's just move. We came down and scoped the area out. I had a cousin that lived there anyway, and then we came out and scoped the area out and said, let's move then. And then, you know, in August, that's what we did. That August of last year, we did that. And then at that time, we were about ready to get married anyway. So around the 15th, we got married because our parents was married on the 15th of the same, you know, on August also. So we wanted to kind of land right on that same date. So that's why we actually got married in a UPS store.
Yeah, you want to explain that? You got married in a UPS store?
Exactly. So,
how does one do that?
They have a license to be able to do it. Some of the U.S., you know, in there, they have a license to be able to say the vows and everything and notarize it right there. So.
Do they really? You can get, is that true?
Maybe I'll go get married in the UPS store, John.
Oh, that would be the icing on your cake.
Is that like a world, is that like a nationwide thing, or is that just like in Florida?
Well, no, I think you can do it in any UPS store, yeah.
Wow, yeah. I didn't even know that. We should start a business.
And of course, states do vary. I know Florida, you know, that's all you would need is a notary with a license being able to say the vow. So, yeah, I'm sure every state varies. So, so the thing is, if you remember correctly, on August 15th of last year, that's when the Europa show took place. And like I said, I work with ISS, and we both do. So we had to work the booth that day at the Europa show. So the only thing we had to take off at about 8 o'clock in the morning. So not enough time to meet that 15th and still go to the Justice of the Peace. So we couldn't do it on the 15th in Florida at the Justice of the Peace. The only way we could do it is to do it at the UPS store. At least we had the license. And then we did something more formal later on, you know.
I would have probably waited till the following year.
You've been doing that for 6 years now, Dave.
What do they charge at the UPS store to get married?
It wasn't much at all. I mean, I imagine it was about $25.
Wow, you know? What a deal, John.
Well, it's cheap to get in, but boy, it's expensive to get out, brother. Yeah. And I don't mean to rain on your parade, but I got married on the 10th of October, which was my parents' wedding anniversary. And, you know, we figured, you know, they've been married for 50 years and they're happy and they love each other and everything, but that date ain't genetic, bro.
It's not the date, John. It's the partner.
It's the partner.
He's got a good partner there, so.
Yeah, as long as you got a good partner, you can get married on the first. It don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. So then we neither one of us were into the big wedding thing anyway. So we just, you know, of course, took the money that we would spend on a wedding where we had just had a nice vacation in Hawaii and had a good time there. And so it was all, you know.
That sounds good.
Yeah, Hawaii is always fun. You can't go wrong with Hawaii. Now, I understand you opened a tanning salon and weight loss clinic. Is that true or is that a false rumor?
Yeah. Yeah, that's in Jacksonville. Once we got down here and got settled in, we scoped the area out, and this is kind of something we wanted to do. We were always doing the nutritional programs for people, and then what we did is we wanted a home base, so we decided to buy a tanning salon, which, you know, the tanning salon can run its own, and then we do our nutritional consultations out of the tanning salon. So it's a slash supplement store, tanning salon with him, and we set up consultations on a regular basis there, you know. So me and my wife does that. Of course, she deals with a lot of the mainstream average women type, you know, and I deal with more of the men or the bodybuilders and things like that, you know.
Are there a lot of bodybuilders? I know Dexter Jackson and lives down there, but who else is Jacksonville a big area for health and fitness?
It is a big area for health and fitness. I mean, the gym that I belong to particularly is a Bailey's powerhouse, and it's 11, 12 of those gyms right here in this local area. So, and then, of course, then you still have the gyms that Dexter trains at. It's about three worlds and about three goals and a lifestyle. So it's gyms everywhere around here. Very competitive, yeah. Wow. And a lot of athletes, a lot of bodybuilder-type people, too. So, you know,
And then, like I said, mainly we try to, here locally, we try to, you know, snatch the average housewife, you know, the average couple that needs to lose weight, you know, things. That's what we normally deal with here. Me, personally, on the internet basis and stuff, I deal with, you know, the athletes getting the bodybuilders ready for shows and things like that, you know.
Right.
And my wife still, she's capable of dealing with the figure girls also. So, but we do that kind of in combination together too. So,
what is a typical like housewife that wants to drop like 30, 40 pounds? What like, how does it work with you when they come in with you? Do they, what does it cost? You know, what do they get I guess from you guys?
Well, of course, I don't want to go too in detail with the cost, but right, you know, they pay a certain fee. We normally work with them in either 4-week packages, which is not going to be for the most people. The 4-week package is simply someone who just needs to get a kick start and they just don't have the format of how to eat, and then we send them off on a great diet that way. A 12-week package is what we normally recommend for the most, and that's the woman that does need to lose that 30 pounds and just don't have a clue of how to do it. And so we, not only do we work with them with the diet and the exercise, we teach them how to work out, and I'll show them, give them a training program and stuff into the diet, but we mentally help people, because most people that in that situation, especially the people that aren't really familiar with the gyms, they need more mental coaching than anything, and we're well equipped to coach people in the mental aspect. And so we meet with them once a week physically in our face and weigh them and talk to them about the problems that they have, and if they're doing a good job, we keep pushing them in the direction they need to go. But it's that one-on-one, hands-on, that they can see our face and hear our story and know that we know everything that they're going through. Between the two of us, me being a man, her being a woman, me being through my situations, her in her own situations, we can kind of, understand what any person is going to, trying to lose the weight they're doing. So, and that's what we do, mentally help them get through to where they're going. So this type of lifestyle becomes them, you know. So after 12 weeks, hopefully, it becomes the lifestyle for them, you know. So that's what we do. And, of course, we deal with people on a yearly basis also, but that's, of course, the more obese person that would need a year of guidance, you know. But a lot of times our 12-week people sign up again to re-sign up, because they just know they need that extra coaching, you know. So,
yeah. Congratulations on that business. Sounds like you're doing well down there.
Definitely,
it's going good, and we just want to keep building and whatnot. So,
well, now you're in Florida now. You're I guess you're from Virginia, right?
Yeah, I spent my adult life and especially my bodybuilding career in Virginia, Northern Virginia.
Right, and you lived in Kansas City, so you've had a pretty good sampling of the country. Do you think Florida is the best place you've been yet?
Well, I definitely love D.C. too, but at the same time, after 14 years of being there, I was looking for something new, even though I was forced to leave there when I did get sick, and then I ended up moving to Fort Walton Beach, Florida, because my sister was stationed there. So that happened, of course, in 99. Right. And then, so I didn't really care for that part of Florida. But once I did get the transplant, I moved to South Florida, Fort Lauderdale. And then I stayed there for about a couple of years, and the transplant failed. My sister came and got me, and I moved to Kansas City. But I do love Florida, so that's what made me want to come back, because I never did want to leave South Florida, actually. But I was forced to leave there, you know, at the time. So
yeah, me too.
You're not going to blame me for this.
I have the same
salvation.
I have the same story. I was forced to leave Fort Lauderdale too, man.
Yeah, I think I've been hearing something about that.
It's called lack of funds to live there.
Exactly. It was costing me nothing to live there. Anyway, that's a whole other radio show. Anyway, so your wife Sarah, she competes, correct?
Yeah, she competes. She competed on the national level this year, actually, even at the junior, at the nationals. She placed 15th right on the dot, but, you know, we it's like probably about us, we felt like she could have done a lot better, but the judging, of course, and as you know, is just really, you just never know what they're looking for. It's like shaking dice and throwing it out there, and hopefully they pick your person, you know. But
you got better chance with dice, Don. Dice are much better odds, believe me.
Yeah. So figure we don't have it nailed down on what they really want on a particular day. Each show, it seems so different of what they want, so very confusing. I hope they get that together, though. I honestly do.
You know? Yeah, it's P&P, I told you. And I hope they finish.
Sarah mentioned to me, you said it was P&P.
Pick and pray. Pick and pray.
Yeah, exactly.
You pick the girl with the smallest waist, and you pray she's in shape, that's all.
Yeah. And here, the week before, she won a show right here in St. Augustine, the All-South. She won first place there. So we knew she had the physique, but once it gets there, it seemed like you just get tossed in a pile, and I don't know what happens, so, you know. But
it's very, very competitive. A lot of girls in the 50 girls in the class.
Yeah, so I think you can kind of get lost in there, really. You know, so.
They're going to finish building the World Trade Center before they figure out what they want and figure.
Yeah. But she just loves to train anyway, so, you know, and then, you know, she'll kind of get her thoughts together and decide what she wants to do that. But no matter what, she'll continue to train and train other people, too, so, you know.
But now, does she listen to you as far as contest prep advice go, or do you guys love each other too much for that to ever work?
Yeah, no, and we train together every day, and we've always have since we met. And she definitely listens to me very well. And at the same time, throughout the years, she's very knowledgeable about her body also. So I listen to her. We throw it back and forth sometimes. And she'll give me a feedback and say, I think this, I think that. And I'll analyze it. I'll say, okay, let's go that way. But for the most part, yeah, she definitely listens to what I have to say. She respects my experience and whatnot. But at the same time, she's very gifted at this to where I don't even know how. I mean, within 3 or 4 years, she's picked up this stuff like I don't know what, you know, so. She's pretty good at it, you know, with research. And she has a degree in physical training as far as she used to train football players on the field and stuff like that, whatever that's called, you know.
And you never guess that looking at her, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, you have a definitely an opposite experience that from Dave and I, in such that the ones we love never listen to us.
Yeah, and normally that is my experience. Even my sister won't listen to me, and she knows I'm a pro, but she'll go hire a personal trainer and won't listen to me.
What so, is it about that? Did they ever figure that out? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, but she listens well, and we analyze things together, too, though, so we work good as a team. We never have issues in the gym at all, so.
No, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Now, Donnie, how did you meet Al Augusti? Because I understand, obviously, now you're training him, and you got him ready for the Nationals this year. How did you make contact with him?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this year, like I said, I work with the ISS. Oh, yeah. And this year, they signed Al Augusti, you know, this year. And I never really met him before that. I seen him compete last year, and I was impressed, of course, even with him last year at the Nationals. But this year, like I said, he was with the ISS. And then together, we worked a couple of booths in the beginning of the year, April, but just briefly. We just, you know, kind of crossed paths briefly then. And then, so I knew he was doing the Nationals and then stuff like that. But, and of course, the whole time I'm thinking he actually had someone working with him, you know, because he looked pretty decent last year. So I thought maybe he had someone working with him. We got to the Nationals, at the Olympia this year. And even then, I said, well, good luck. Let me know if I can do anything to help you. And I give him some tidbits of what I think he should do, this and that. But still, I'm thinking he had a trainer already. And then once we got back on, I said, well, call me if you need anything. He called me for a few tips on this or that. Briefly, and I said, well, who's helping you anyway? You know, who's helping you? You know, you got somebody helping you, right? And he said, no, I'm just kind of doing it on my own. He said he has, like, you know, I think Deep Warner was watching him every now and then, checking him out, because he's from his area, Orlando, Deep Warner. You know Deep Warner?
Yeah.
So anyway, so once he told me you really didn't have anybody, I said, man, well, come on, man, look, let me help you, man. You ISS boy. Let me go ahead and guide you into this thing right now. And then, like I said, I just took him under my wing at that point, and then come to realize it's just he's just a genetic freak, because everything you saw that he's done, I feel like it was just done on great genetics. And of course, I still think he made great changes on his own in the off season. He must have made some great changes because he had the muscle. But I was just there to make sure he didn't lose that muscle coming into the show. And that's exactly what happened. He was able to, when I got him, he was at about 202, 205. And then the whole time, he pretty much stayed, give or take, 202. He didn't lose a lot, but he changed a lot, you know. So I think if I hadn't came in, he would have lost a lot of size coming down, you know. So
I couldn't believe how this guy looked. When I saw him on Thursday, like late afternoon or so, he was posing in my room. We did a little interview. I was like, this freaking guy could win the whole show. I mean, he was that much better than he was the year before. Do you think that he should have beat Seth Ferrosi? What did you think of that decision?
I saw it either way, and I definitely wasn't upset. You know, I understand the sport. And, I mean, and not in a bad. I mean, Seth was great. It was just unfortunate he came out of nowhere and he was shredded to the bone. And they had two different physiques, but I like Al's round, beautiful muscles. But I can definitely see that Seth had a couple of things that Al might not have, the calves and a little bit of better hamstrings, I think. If Al had had those two things and he had showed his legs quad separation a little bit better, because we worked on that, but we only had 1 week to really work on his posing with him because he came down here. But I knew that was going to be an issue. But so I think, you know, if the detail could have been a little deeper or held it a little bit deeper in the quad area, and of course, you know, just had a little bit better itself was just ripped to the toes from. So I just think those two areas, like hamstrings and calves, would put the nail on the coffin for him. I think if those things had been more balanced, he could have beat him, even though Seth was still in better condition. I mean, a little drier condition. I think with Al's mass and round muscles, he still could have beat him, I think, you know. But I'm not upset with that loss, you know. But I am upset to a degree because he lost, but I understand that this is, yeah,
it was close. I don't think anyone would have complained if it would have gone either way. I had no problem with either one of the guys winning. Personally, I thought I liked the freaks. Seth is a freak, but I mean, Al's physique is just beautiful. I mean, this guy could probably be a really good pro one day.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like I said, I had that few weeks to work with him. I think this offseason we'll kill it. I'll bring him back, and he'll be even better than that show, I guarantee you. To the T, you'll be, everything will be spot on next time. So I can almost predict he'll win the next year.
What show is he going to do? USA or Nationals?
He's going to do the USA. Yeah. Okay. So,
well, he had to give him 4 pro cards this year, so that should be a sure thing for him. Yeah.
Well, you were the first guy to train Brandon Ray when he won his class. I guess going back to the 2007 NPC Junior Nationals, were you upset, you know, when he made his decision to stop working with you and move over to Hani Rambod?
Well, actually, I'm never upset when someone makes choices on their own career. I think they have that right. I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I just would never leave a camp that I've won with, you know. I would leave when I start losing, probably, but I would just never leave a camp that you won with, you know. And one thing, I'm very passionate about the guys that I get, and not saying the other guys are, but I know, I like I say, I try to see myself, especially in a guy who has those kind of genetics like him and Al, that I'm gonna bring out the best in them that I can. Trust me, I'm gonna leave no stones unturned. So I wish he had stayed with me the whole time, and I can't promise that would have made a difference. But in my eyes, in my own mind, I just felt like it would have. But you know, a guy has to make his own choices. But I always tell a guy he always should make his own choices. You know, and I don't never try to hold a guy back. You know, so.
Well, I mean, the guy won. I mean, he won his class at the Junior Nationals. You obviously knew what you were doing. I mean, you had a synergy there. You know, he moves over to Hani. I call him Radamabad, but anyway, he moves over to Hani. I mean, obviously, you knew what you were doing with him. Why do you think these guys flip flop back and forth to different trainers, coaches, gurus the way they do?
Well, I'm sure, you know, Kahani definitely has, you know, the name and the reputation. So sometimes people think, well, yeah, if I did that good, well, let me see what this guy can do with it. But I just don't think that's a good thing to do when you're already on a streak, you know, when you have one. It's, you don't mess up something. You don't break what's already fixed, so, at that point. But I can see, like I said, if he had lost or he didn't do good. But, you know, like I said, a guy should definitely be open to make his own choices, you know, so I don't have any beef with that.
Happens to me a lot too, Don, don't even think anything other, but you know, I think it's, these guys are fickle, you know, they think that it's like the grass is always greener on the other side, they think they're missing something, you know. Something.
I think the longer you can stay with one trainer, one guy, you know, then, you know, that guy's going to really get to know your physique on the next round, you know, so sometimes... Yeah. Not good to switch around too much, I don't think. You know, even if you do have a slight mishap, sometimes you stick with a guy who's loyal to you and going to take care of you. That's important keys too, you know, so.
That's true. And, you know, he did win with you and he didn't win after that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that, right?
Now, Donnie,
you know, yeah. I think Brandon's a champion in the making. You know, he's definitely, of course, we all know he's a great, he has a great physique. It's just a matter of bringing it in, you know. But I think Brandon may be planning on doing the Nationals again next year. So, and then I don't know what his plans are from this point. We talked a couple of times. Maybe we'll talk again and see what we can work out. You know,
yeah,
so.
You never know. Sometimes a change is good. Now, Donnie, while you never won a pro show, you haven't won one in a number of years. Just to say, you did win. You won the Night of Champions. I remember back then. You have managed to keep.
I didn't win the Night of Champions.
You didn't? Oh, that's right. You were third.
I placed third behind Ron.
Right. Yeah. No, I forgot that. Yeah. That was, he probably would have won if those guys didn't do the show that year because then, Flex Wheeler was doing everything to try to steal all the prize money from everyone.
Exactly. The top guys weren't supposed to do the Night of Champions back then, but Flex jumped in there, so.
That's right. Well, you know, and in Ronnie, too. You know, Ronnie.
Ronnie came out of nowhere, though. I had planned on beating him because, you know, the year before that, Ronnie was about 235.
Right, yeah. Know? Right, yeah, that
and
was when he,
you know, he's 252 or something. So.
Yeah, he was crazy
did,
that year.
Did you win a pro show?
No, he didn't. Nope. I
never won a pro show, yeah.
I thought he won that for some reason. I forgot, you know. You see what happens? We start getting amnesia as we get older.
It's called senility.
Yeah.
But needless to say, despite the fact that you never won a pro show, you managed to have a supplement company sponsorship for over the last 3 years now.
Yeah.
And you got to fill in a lot of the listeners out there, because I know there's a lot of guys that are top national lifters, bodybuilders. There's guys that are upcoming guys. And, you know, you're one of these people like myself who the success of yourself on stage never really mattered as far as having people believe in you and getting sponsorship. How did you originally get involved with ISSO? Yeah. And why do you think they decided to hire you over, say, some guys that still compete regularly, you know?
Well, okay, so I got to, you know, I actually knew one of the guys who was the top sales guy there, Kevin DeHaven, or Kevin who helped Cedric. You know Kevin DeHaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I actually been knowing Kevin because he's from Virginia also. So I've been knowing him for years, way back. You know, he actually went to my nationals when I won years ago. So I've been knowing Kevin for years, and we always see each other in passing because, you know, from the old times or whatever. But then, you know, one year I saw him at a show after I competed, and I said, you know, you think you can talk to, you know, the company for me, blah, 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 you know, and sure enough, he talked to him and said, let me see what I can talk to him, and they said, you know, they gave me a trial run at one of the Ironmans, and I think, you know, to this day, I think, you know, just being good to the fans, this is my, you know, the one thing I've always held pride on is being good to the fans, you know, no matter what kind of mood I was in or whatever, I knew the fans, you know, were there for a reason. They wanted to meet you. They love you. And no matter what you think and what, you know, they, you know, because I was that fan before. So I always said once I did make it, I would be great to the fans because I used to chase around the guys myself before. So I knew how they feel. And so I always took that in stride. And to this day, I just always know when I get behind that booth, then the fans count, you know. So no matter what, I always got a smile on my face to meet them and happy to meet them, answer questions. And I think those things made them see that I was the type of athlete that they could sponsor for now 3 years, you know. So, you know.
Now, Donnie, I got to ask you. Those Oh Yeah bars are so damn good. Are they just really like Babe Ruth bars, like repackaged?
No. The owner of the company, Ron, he takes pride in what he produces. I mean, he's really thorough about, you know, granted, it's a bar, you know, but the thing is, it is a bar that's had a lot of science behind it to where it's not going to be some junk that you're eating. You know, a bar is a bar now. I mean, granted, a bar is not like eating a piece of clean chicken, but for a nice snack, these are the best bars that you can get away with some good sources of protein in it. So,
God, they're so good.
When I get behind the booth, we cannot keep those things. I mean, as Olympia and whatnot, we just run out of those things like crazy. So people love those bars, you know.
The one in the orange wrapper, that is the best bar ever in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I eat them and I think this can't be. It can't be. It's like it's got to be. It's just got to be something else.
Yeah. like I said, he definitely takes pride in what he does. You know, I know him personally myself, and I know he doesn't. You know, he wouldn't want to put anything wishy-washy out there. He's a man of pride. And he takes pride in his products, so I can vouch for that myself. You know. So
Donnie, what's the 5-year plan?
My 5-year plan?
Yeah.
My 5-year plan, with me and my wife together, of course, we plan on, of course, growing our nutritional business. And this is what the big plan is, trying to grow this business and trying to help other athletes. I'm very looking forward to helping many more athletes achieve their goals. And I want to be that, honey. Trust me. I mean, I want to be that. Not necessarily for the money part of it, but I love helping people. And when you see that final product, like I saw in Al, when he comes in my room and I see him, I'm like, God, dang. You know, my mouth dropped like yours did. I'm like, did I do this? You know, did I have part of this? You know, and just to see that final product, you know, I like say he was just a good athlete who listened very well to the T. And when I didn't have the question, did you do it? He did everything I said, and that's what happens when the final product. So I love doing that, and that's what I'll continue to do. I'll try to grow the business, help as many athletes as we can on that end, and we'll help, you know, the normal people on this end, you know, is what we'll continue to do. So in 5 years, that's all I want to keep doing. I would love to still be with ISS, you know, having a nice, you know, endorsement deal with them because I love their products and I use them all the time. So I would be happy to be with them 5 years from now, but I would still be happy doing my own thing on the side also like that. So, mm-hmm.
Well, we've talked about this next topic a little bit in the past, Donnie, but, you know, you got no kidneys, man.
Yeah.
And that has got to be a factor. Is it something that preoccupies you? Do you worry about, you know, how this could shorten your life? Or do you just kind of ignore all of it and just pay as close attention to your health and do the right thing as you possibly can and ignore what, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I think... definitely, dialysis. Honestly, most people on dialysis, the life expectancy is about 2-2.5 years, you know. But I feel like I am a different breed, you know. I'm a different breed, and I won't settle for that, definitely. So, and I've also know also people that have lived 30-40 years on dialysis. So,
oh, wow.
That gives me hope, you know. And if and these are just normal people, I mean, people that took care of themselves, though, you have to take care of yourself on dialysis if you expect to live that long, but. You know, so I don't look at that. Although, like I told you, I always feel like I'm on death row. Anything can happen with dialysis. I always know that in the back of my mind. That's why I don't live my life short. I don't second guess. I do what I want to do. I make my decisions and I go for it. I don't hold back on anything either. And that's what I'll continue to do. But I don't have any fears, though, because I'm definitely not afraid of dying or anything. Trust me. You know, I've faced those things before. I've been on deathbed so many times in this 10 years experience, so
right.
Nothing can kind of scare me now because I know what can happen. But now I just live for the. I do take care, good care of myself. I follow the rules as close as possible, and I think I'll be around a long time. Trust me, you know.
So now, how long have you been on dialysis at this point?
10 years has been the start of it, you know.
You told me once you sleep on it, you're on all night long. Is that correct?
Exactly. I do a new procedure, what they call it. It's called a machine called the Next Stage, which is a dialysis machine, but it's a small portable type dialysis machine that you can literally travel with it. It has a case that I can travel on the road with it. When I went to the Nationals, I traveled with it, and it was in my room, so I did dialysis. And by doing that, I have even more chances because it cleans me almost as good as what yours does because I'm doing it every single day. 8 hours a night, you know, and normally the normal kidney cleans good, does most of the cleaning at night while you sleep.
So this is why
they added a system called nocturnal dialysis to mimic the natural kidney. So as where you get 100% cleaning, I'm going to get about 75%, you know, so still not perfect, but better than 30% on 3 days a week, you know.
Right. So you make sure you sleep 8 hours a night, obviously.
Oh yeah, I always sleep eight hours or more a night. Yes,
but now that does that 75 does that 25% left over does that eventually catch up to you? How do you compensate for that? If you're not getting 100% like we are, you're getting 75. What happens to that 25? Does it does it add up? What ultimately happens?
You know, you just have to deal with that, and then I don't think nobody knows how much 75% cleaning. How long you can live with that. I mean, you know, some people only live on one kidney anyway, which is half of cleaning what you're getting anyway. Right. And to me, in life, that's what I was born with. I was born with only one working kidney anyway, you know, at birth. You know, so and a lot of people don't know they only have one working kidney. So it's possible to live a perfectly healthy life on one kidney, you know.
Now, would you ever consider having another kidney transplant?
I just started thinking about getting back on the list. Yeah, I started thinking about getting back on the list. I was against it because I had a bad experience with the transplant system itself, but through time, I think things are getting better with the knowledge and stuff of transplants. And so I'll at least put myself back on the list. Coming up probably this month, I'll put myself back on the list. I just decided that actually this week, really.
Oh, really?
My wife and I together, yeah, as that you mentioned it.
Because you're a young man. I mean, you should definitely be a candidate for one.
Yeah, I think I'm a good candidate for one, so that's never been the problem. It's just this type of dialysis does do very well, but at the same time, not having to do dialysis would give me more freedom, you know.
Sure.
So I'll look at the situation, and when I meet with the docs, I'll analyze the situation again to see how far they have come along with the, you know, technology and stuff like that, and then make a choice at that point, you know. At the same time, I feel in the next 5-10 years, they're going to have something to where, honestly, people won't even need dialysis anymore. So,
oh, you think so?
I'm constantly doing research myself and seeing the new things that are in the works, you know. So I'm positive that soon, you know, I won't have to deal with dialysis anyway.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, Donnie, you sound like you're doing great. It's good to hear you're still
pumping out the weights and having those 20-something inch arms. What's the best way to get in touch with you if anyone wants to work with you in contest prep, or they want to just do diets with you, or they want you to train them for that matter?
Okay, yeah, I'm always looking forward to helping new people, so they can contact me at donlongnutrition@aol.com.
Okay.
donlongnutrition@aol.com. They can also, of course, reach me through mail with the ISSresearch.com. They can reach me there and send me letters and things like that. But personally, if they want to reach me for actual programs and things like that, or to get started on an off-season program, I'm very good at off-season programs and, of course, contest preps. So they can reach me at the Don Long Nutrition @AOL.com.
Well, very few people have as much experience as this guy, Big Don Long, or have gone through what he's gone through. So I advise you take him up on his offer. Donnie, thanks a lot, man. And we'll probably see you in, I guess, 2010, right?
Okay, man. I appreciate you guys. And then y'all take care, too. And have a good holidays and whatnot, okay?
All right, John. That was Donnie Long is just a great guest. You know, I always love having him on. I love seeing him at shows. You know, for a guy who's got no kidneys and you think would be, you know, down on himself, he's always in a positive mood. He's always smiling. And like he said, he really has nothing to fear anymore in life. He's already faced death several times.
I always love seeing him because, you know, we almost lost him, you know, a couple of times back there in the last 10 years that he's dealt with this challenge. And it's always good to see him, and it's just kind of warms your heart to see him and to see him happy and up and upbeat and positive. And
got a beautiful wife too,
who got married in a UPS store.
Yeah, you know, that I can't get over the UPS thing, John. You know, $25, you can get married. I mean, people are missing the boat. If you go to Vegas, I would go to the UPS store in Vegas and get married, and then you can go have a little shindig and party.
It just shocks me that getting married is the cheapest part, you know?
You know about the un-getting married part.
Well, you know why divorces are so expensive.
Why?
They're worth it.
You know, I gotta say kudos out to my ex-wife. You know, it didn't cost us a dime. We amicably figured out, you know, what we wanted to do, and I gave her a little more than she deserved, and we signed it, you know, and I had a lawyer friend of mine just notarize it. It really didn't cost me anything to get divorced. I was kind of lucky in this sense.
I marvel at your relationship with her. I mean, she gave you guys a ride to the airport.
Yeah. Well, that's because, you know what it is? Whenever she needs something, I just give it to her. That's all. It's easy that way.
It must be, you know, occasionally you get a piece of mail over at my house for Barbara, and you know, when Max gets the mail, he goes, "Who's Barbara Palumbo?" And I go, that's Dave's first wife. She goes, "She used to live here with him?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, and he says, "Does Colette know that?"
That's funny.
Because you have such a rare relationship with her that even kids don't understand it.
Does Colette know that? That's Colette cute. Well, you know, the UPS store is seeming a lot more appealing lately to me, but you never know. I just didn't know you can get married at UPS. I didn't know that they were that qualified. I guess, you know, you got priests, rabbis, and UPS, right?
The men in brown.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder, as Jeff, you know, mentioned a minute ago, if you could actually get married and kind of, like, put yourself in one of those big boxes and ship yourself to your honeymoon.
I don't know about that. But you could probably send out, you know, congratulations notices to people, you know.
Oh my
after
gosh.
You get married.
And you can have copies done while you're waiting.
Yeah, I wonder for the $25 if you could probably get like a discount rate if you did a couple of weddings, you know? Because, you know, they always give, UPS likes to give discounts for bulk rates.
Well, yeah, well, what if you went in and you had a couple of packages to ship, some faxes to make, something to get notarized, and a wedding?
Maybe they throw the wedding for free if you had enough to mail.
Package deal.
I got a UPS account with Species. You think they throw a freaking free wedding in once? Once every 10 years? Come on, man.
Now, how do you think that would go over with Colette? If you say, "Hey, Colette, you got a few minutes, we got to go to the UPS store."
She'd probably be happy about it because at least we'd be getting married. I think Ron and Nancy Norman went to the Justice of the Peace, right?
Yeah, I went to, that's how I got
that's
married.
That's how my parents got married,
to Max's
too.
Mother, yeah. In Beverly Hills. We went to the Justice of the Peace. Yeah,
that was probably expensive in Beverly Hills, though.
It was $50.
That's double the price of UPS.
But it was Beverly Hills, you know.
And what did it cost you to get divorced, though?
I think I'm up to over $500,000 now.
Well, you know, Al and Don are two class guys. I hope they stay together and work together. They seem good for each other, and they're both working for ISS, and it's good to see people are making money in this economy. I'm happy.
Sure is. And just the camaraderie, it's good to see. You know, one bodybuilder, you know, like you do, Dave. I mean, you know, you went your distance and now you're helping other people. Mm-hmm. Don, too. He's happy to help, and it makes him feel good. And that's a good thing.
Maybe Diego could get an ISS contract, though, yeah, bar.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Diego's going to start prepping athletes now.
he might have his own little stable of guys he's going to get ready.
All these little Colombians entering contests. And you prepped by Diego.
He's been complaining how he has no money. We could send him to UPS and give him a $25 gift certificate, and he can marry his girlfriend there.
Ooh.
Right?
I don't know. Yeah, he could.
That would be a nice gift, right?
They could ship the turtles somewhere.
I'll say, look, we'll pay for the wedding. He'll think that we're going to throw this huge wedding, and I'll give him a UPS, a $25 gift certificate.
Like that commercial on TV where the guy says to the girl, you want a pony?
Exactly.
Because they're cut out.
Well, John, we're out of time. It's that time of the day. You know, I think we're going to do the best of show for probably in 2 weeks.
For Christmas?
Not the Christmas show. We're going to do the awards of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who. I don't know if we. Maybe we should get Lonnie Teeper on to do that show.
We get Lonnie on. Are we going to take a break at Christmas, or are we going to have a show on Christmas
Eve? No, we never stop. You know that, man.
Yeah, that's true.
We go.
There's no reason to. We're here.
If we're not here, we'll pre-tape. You know,
we're not here, we're there.
That's right.
Right.
Who said that? If we're not here, we're there.
It was Austin Powers.
He was
hey, there you are. He goes, do I know you? No, but you're there.
Well, I'm a little confused, but that's typical, par for the course. Right. I've actually been getting a lot more sleep than normally, and it's doing me good. I know Jeff's been sleeping at least 18 hours a day the last couple of days.
Where were you last night? I called you at 1:30 in the morning, and you weren't up.
I went to bed early. I went to bed at 12:30. I slept till 10:30.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, I know. All right, well, I'd like to thank our guests tonight, Al Augusti and Don Long, for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com. The truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.